Are you ready? What are we talking about today? Hey! Yes! We are talking about journaling. I'm going to use a little bit less harsh word, maybe has some weird stigma to it, so I'm just going to say writing, but that's what I mean. But I can further focus it and just, let's call it two-way prayer. Who wants God to talk to you when you pray to Him? Most of the hands went up, right? We want God to speak to us, right? So we've been in this series, tuned in, learning how to hear the voice of God. And because we have some new folks here, can you guys give a hand for our new folks? I actually see a few around the room. We welcome you to Hope Church. We bless you. I'm going to hope I'm not going to mess this up, but Hernandez family, right? Hey, awesome. Hannah brought her family with her. So we bless you guys, and we welcome you to Hope Church. Thank you for joining us. I'm not going to call everybody out. I knew their names, but I don't want to guess or anything like that. So please get with us after the service, and we'd love to get a gift into your hand and talk to you a little bit more about your experience here. So to recap for everybody, including those online, we've been speaking specifically about four keys to hearing God's voice, and those keys are stillness, quieting ourselves, waiting on the Lord, being still before Him. Vision, that's turning those eyes on Jesus, looking at Him and seeing Him. Number three is spontaneity. This one may sound weird, but it's tuning to the flow of the Spirit. And sometimes God's voice can sound like a spontaneous thing. You weren't thinking about it before, and He says something that you're like, man, that was good. Where did that come from? Not you, in many cases. Not me either, right? Spontaneity, learning to tune to the flow of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us, so He's speaking, and we have to learn how to hear His voice. That's what we're doing. And then the one we're speaking about today is that journaling, that writing, that as we meet with Jesus, we take time to record everything that He tells us so that we can focus our prayers, speak comfort and life over ourselves and others, and walk in greater intimacy with Him. Who wants that? Does that sound like something we want? Yeah. Amen. So today's message is called Record It. So writing is a big deal to God. He wants to guide and instruct as many as of us that will listen to Him away from destruction. Did you know that? That His goal, His plan, as found in 2 Peter 3:9, if you're writing anything down, He's not willing that any of us should perish. He gave the free gift of Jesus Christ so that we would know Him and come back into relationship with Him and be made right and washed clean by the blood of Jesus. So He's not willing that we would perish. He's actually long-suffering with us. Amen? Are you thankful for Him being long-suffering with you? I know I am. We were talking about patience Wednesday night, and I was like, I want more patience. And usually you say, don't pray for patience. He'll give you opportunities. No, I want to pray for patience because my Father is patient, and I want to be like Him. All right, so I want you to do a couple things. I want you to get your Bible ready. And just FYI, if anybody's coming in, this row next to Joe is free. Those are the church Bibles. I don't know why they're blocking all of our seats. But if you need a Bible, there are Bibles checkered around. They don't all look the same. But if you need a Bible, go ahead and get a Bible ready just so you can follow through with us as we go through the Word. And I want to do something. So as you know, we typically stand for the reading of the Word. I think that's a way to honor and respect God and what He's saying to us. So we're going to do that. But before we do that, I've been praying about this. I've been talking about it with Pastor Glenn and some of the folks here on staff. And I have a few declarations that I want to make. And this may actually become a part of who we are. Is that okay? Amen. All right. So let's stand up. And I want you to repeat after me. Those online, stand up with us too. Join in. Write it down. My notes are online, so I will get this out. But we're going to say this together. I'm going to do hand motions. You do not have to do hand motions, but I believe that I want to do hand motions. So if you want to join me, you can. But point number one, my eyes are on Jesus. Point number two, my heart is tuned to His Spirit. Number three, my ears are listening to Him. Do you hear His voice? Number four, my mind will believe what He says. Yes. And then right here, you're gonna make a little cone shape like you're getting real loud. my voice will declare the truth of his word. My voice will declare the truth of his word. So don't let any of that junk tell you who you are. Let his word tell you who you are. Amen? All right, so now that we're standing, let's grab our Bibles and let's read these few scriptures this morning. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4, and we're going to have it on the screen too. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Amen? One more section here. John 5, 37 through 40 and 45 through 47. Just a few verses. Jesus says, "And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him who he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope." Oh no. "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" There's a lot here, okay? And then last two, right here. Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets." He ain't talking about iPads, okay? "That he may run who reads it." Amen? Lord Jesus, we've read your word. We want to declare your truth all the days of our life. We want our eyes on you. We want to be still and rest in your presence so that we can hear your voice. Would you speak to us today as our hearts have aligned to you? Holy Spirit, you're here, but we invite you to come out in greater fullness, in greater strength. We want your truth revealed to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Are you excited? So just to unpack these three scriptures real quick, if you haven't noticed, many of them talk about something. Writing it down, testifying, saying what God said, right? With proof, right? We write it down. So just as the men of old wrote down all the things that God said to them and put it in this so that we can read it, when the Lord speaks to you, me and Alan were talking about this today. It was great. And actually, you know what? I have to share it. It was just too good not to. So you guys that know me, I'm a big cheese ball, so here you go. I don't know that I can apologize for it because it cracks me up. But my wife, I love her too, shared this, and it was just like, yeah, that's my girl. So this is the way the Message Bible would say this phrase. "Mama, I'm hungry." This is the way the Amplified Bible says this phrase. Little twang to it. "Mummy, I'm hungry." Famished, starving. This is the way the NIV Bible would say this. "Mother, I am hungry." And this is my all-time favorite. My kids are weird too, and they went around saying it all day long. But here's the way the King James would say this. And I'm going to really ham this up. "Henceforth, let it be known unto thee, birth giver, that my belly consists of emptiness." Did I do that okay? Right? And what I want to get out of that, they all said, "I'm hungry, Mama." But my kids went around all day yesterday saying, "Birth giver." You know? She loved it. It was great. And I'm sure that if you have a favorite Bible version, you could probably write your own too, right? I was already thinking about the Passion one. I'm gonna pin that out and share that with you next time because I think that would be good. Oh, most beautiful mother, blessing to my soul, right? You know, we can make it real nice in the Passion translation too. But the thing that I liked about that is these men wrote it down, and we have translators and people that have really taken time to study the word and unpack it for us, and it's understandable at whatever area you're in your life. And the funny part of that is Alan and I were saying, you ever remember growing up and whatever translation you read in, that's how God spoke? Like, what does God sound like? He uses lots of these and thous. God doesn't say that to me. He doesn't use any of these and thous. What are you talking about, right? Like sometimes you have that filter that you put on, and that's just how God speaks to you, and it's normal. It's how you distinguish. So I'm not saying any of that is bad. I'm yours. So whatever that sounds like, go with it, right? And if you read a new version, cool. If you got some nice music playing in the background, you can really focus in on his voice, and he sounds normal, cool. The idea or the point is that you could distinguish it from your own internal voice so that you know when he's leading you. You take that word back and you look at it in Scripture and say, does this align with what the Word of God says? Yes, bingo, it's God. And if it doesn't, it's probably just me. And if it's completely against the Word of God, that's the enemy. Those are the thoughts I'm going to bind and throw out because I don't need that junk. All right, are you with me? All right. I like illustrations, so that's what hit me. So write them on the tablet of your heart. His word abiding in you, so his word's in us, right? And then the other one, Habakkuk 2, I don't know if you caught it, but it actually has all of our keys in there. Stand my watch, set myself. Watch to see, right? Then the Lord answered me, and then I wrote the vision down, made it plain. All there. Isn't that cool? All right, so here's our sermon in a sentence, and I've already been talking a lot, so please stay with me, but here's our sermon in a sentence. Record the words of Jesus, write them down, so that you can be a faithful witness of his gospel to the world. Write it down. A faithful witness, right? You want to get it right. You want the message to be clear, I hope, right? So write it down. Make sure you have it. So we're going to play a little bit of a game. Who's played the game telephone or heard of the game telephone? Yeah, hey. All right, Candace and Natalie and Daughtry and Miss Robin and Joe. Come on up if you would. I only told two of them I was doing this with you. The rest of you have no clue. All right, I'm going to put you at this end, and Robin, you're going to be the last one. Everyone else in between, I don't care how you line up. But Robin, you're the last one over here by me. Yeah. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Come on, guys. All right. You get to read this, and then you get to tell it to everybody else, and then we're going to have Miss Robin tell us what she said, okay? Don't show her.
One person at a time.
Yes, one person at a time. She's going to tell her, she's going to tell him, he's going to tell him, and he's going to tell her. And then you get to tell us what they said. You can read it, just don't show her. Yes. Yes.
You only get to repeat it once.
The looks on their face says it all. So, Miss Robin, tell us the word. Somebody passed a key at night. All right, Candace? I don't know if this is on.
A pink pig and a pesky donkey flew a kite at night.
A pink pig and a pesky donkey flew a kite at night. Not all right. All right. You think that was bad? We got one more. One more. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. You come over here and Candace, you're at the end. And actually, you two switch too. Let's see what happens here. Yours is fun. I'm excited about this one. Not done yet. I know, right? This is fantastic. I'm loving every part of this. Good job, guys. The dog will bark at night and the lion will rumble. Miss Robin, what
all
do we have?
Those things are in this.
Hey, sweet. Okay, so tell us the fool.
Rabbits
rumble.
Rumble.
Giants grumble.
Dogs bark in the dark.
Dogs bark in the dark.
And wolves woo in the blue.
And wolves woo in the blue. All right. Is the point made? We need to write it down, right? Give him a hand clap. Thank you guys so much. So we see the value in writing it down. The people that had the cue card nailed it. Absolutely certain they nailed it. But everything that happened from there to there, the first one wasn't too long. The second one was really long. I could show you visually. But God speaks to us, and it's important for us to write it down. One of the reasons, and I may be completely jumping ahead of my notes, and that's okay, but one of the reasons is I like to get tone. I like to get, you know, just that inflection that he uses. Just like you and I are talking to each other in person, and it doesn't come anywhere close on Zoom or on the phone, I want to write it down. A lot of times they have Zoom phone calls now that will dictate everything that's said, and that's really helpful for taking notes. Or I'm just scribbling away and not looking at their face, right? You know. So as God is speaking, we want to remember everything. And as we just illustrated here, and each one of them are blessings, but we're not all that great at remembering details. Right? You want to know why? Or one of the reasons why? Our experiences. Our experiences create a filter. And it's through that filter that you see and hear and touch and taste and smell. That filter determines how you hear a word. Something that I think is a great way to test this, and when Pastor Gary was here, I robbed a few things from him today. So, Pastor Gary, if you watch this, I love you. I'm borrowing this. I'll pay you for it later. But what he said was a great way to test this in everyday life. When you communicate something, ask the other person, how did you hear that? Or, what did you hear me say? That's a good way to check. Like, what did you hear me say? Something that's funny about this is many of us get in trouble with our wives when we're like doing something. I'm typically doing five things at once. So then Christy comes in and she starts to tell me something really, really important. And I go about my business and she's like, did you hear what I said? Yeah, yeah, you know, and try to rattle it back. No, that's not what I said. You know, and usually it's like, look me in the eyes right now. And then she says it again, and I usually still don't get it right, right? The point is, they're saying something, and they've got all of this going on, but we guys have a filter. That's just one example. Is it pressing? Is it something that's going to need to be fixed, right? If it's needing to be fixed, sometimes we do better. But most of the time, we don't. And the thought that I had there today is there's no one more important to get right or to understand than Jesus, right? Wives are pretty high on that list, but Jesus is number one for sure. And I don't think any one of us, just like we don't want to miss hearing our wives and being in trouble, I don't think we want to miss hearing him. Thankfully, he's long-suffering. Thankfully, he's going to continue speaking. But that's why we're talking about journaling. One last little bubble on this before we jump into our points, but it may seem insignificant, but journaling has provided a way for so many people to receive edification, exhortation, and comfort that comes from the Spirit. So it's important that when he speaks to us, or when he speaks to us for others, you know, usually it includes us both, we get it right. We write it down. Hey, this is for us. Can we pray this together? Can we believe this together? Can we stand in unity on this? Because it's important, and I want to get it right, okay? So point number one, we write to remember. We write to remember. Two verses that hit me almost immediately when I thought of this. One of them is one of my favorite verses, but it's Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Another verse that came to mind was John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it's he who will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. Isn't that cool? That's my favorite. Who struggles with remembering things and wants some help? Right now? All right. I don't have this prayer planned out, but let's just pray it together. Holy Spirit, would you help me remember what I need to remember and push out all the stuff that I don't? In Jesus' name. Amen? That's so cool. I love that. That was one of my favorite verses. It's like, you're going to help me remember? We're in business now. This is cool, right? So many of you that know me know that I write down my thoughts, discussion ideas. As I'm studying, I'll write down, like I'll actually verbatim write down the scripture just to write it down, prayer or other prompts that come to me. There's some scientific stuff behind this, and I've done a bit of studying, and happy to talk about, you know, what you may know or what you may have checked on, but to me, this assists with something called photographic memory. Now, scientific studies haven't really confirmed this to be a thing, and it's often confused with eidetic memory. Something that you may or may not know is studies actually show that each one of us can actually do a little bit of eidetic memory. And what that is for seconds, usually, is what they say for adults. Seconds. We can all remember what something looks like, what it sounds like, what they said, smell. All those things are actively engaged for seconds, and we can remember it. You usually can rattle it off, right? That was a little bit complex, but because of that, they actually added something else in here. Yeah, I have it down below here. They added something else that I'm going to talk about in just 2 seconds, but I believe photographic memory is real. I'm going to give you a few reasons why, but I believe this is something that the Holy Spirit uses, hence science's inability to explain it. Well, we know people say this, but we just have nothing proving that that exists. What else do they say they can't prove? God, the Bible, the events of the Bible. We have Bibles and books and things saying all this happened, but they say they can't prove it. What lens or filter are you trying to pass that through that's not making the mark? I encourage you to remove that filter, and the proof is all you need, right? It's all here. So I believe the Holy Spirit does that, and I experience it very often. Some people that know me are probably nauseated by the amount of things I'm like, oh, that made me think of this, and that made me think of this. When I study, some of my friends also know that depending on what Bible I read or how I read it last, I know which side of the page it's on and how many lines down it's in. Like, I can see it before I get there. I was doing that with Alan the other day, and I was like, I know it's right here. Here's where it is, but it didn't say it the way that I wanted it to say it, so I grabbed a different version and found it. So, you know, I know that it's real, and I believe it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So you may experience it this. Don't get discouraged by science. Believe in the word, okay? As we tune to the flow of the Holy Spirit, you need to hear that our senses are focused or enhanced. We see, hear, smell, taste, touch, etc. An example of this, write it down, check it out later. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but read Revelation 1, 9 through 12. I've talked to a lot of my friends that are linguists and study the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic and all those other languages, and when they read this, and they read Isaiah, the first couple chapters of Isaiah, when Isaiah talks about seeing the vision, and when John talks about seeing the vision, they're actually there. They are experiencing full sight, sound, touch, hearing, smelling, etc. They see it all. They're there. Okay? John was there. And then he wrote down what the Lord said. That's what the Lord said to do. Tell us about it all. So he starts naming, and I'm going off on a tangent here, but he starts naming off rocks that I have never heard of. And he's like, this is what it looked like. Like, this is the only thing I have to go off of, and it's probably, it pales in comparison to what he's actually seeing. But he's like, this is my best attempt at explaining everything that I saw. And he gets pretty detailed. Like, it's crazy, right? So he's writing it down. Another example that came to mind that I was telling you I was going to explain to you is a mnemonic device. A mnemonic device. It's M-N-E-M-O-N-I-C. A mnemonic device. The M is silent. It's any learning technique that aids in information retention or retrieval, remembering, in the human memory. We all can do this. I'm going to give you an example. When I was learning the strings on my guitar, I was taught a phrase, starting from the bottom. Everybody gets donuts at elections. Everybody gets donuts at elections. Jeremy knows what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So he probably learned a phrase, maybe the same one, maybe a different one, but it corresponded to the strings. I learned it, recited it a few times. Now I know what all my strings are and the keys that they reside in. It's that first letter, okay? When I was learning biblical Hebrew, we started with the Hebrew alphabet. We recited it to the theme of Yankee Doodle. Anybody remember that song? All right. I can still recite it today. Aleph, Beit, and Gimel, Dalet, Hey, and Vav, and Zion, Chet, and Tet, and Yod, and Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Num, Samak, Ayin, Pei, and Sade, Kof, and Resh, Sin, and Shin, and Tav. All right? Think you can do that? We're going to do it again. No, I'm just kidding. So the idea there is that music or phrases or, you know, whatever, they do this in school. Miss Sally can probably attest to this. Miss Robin can attest to this. But they do it in school. We do it in homeschool. Like, you find ways to learn this. You know, the I before E would be another example. So that you retain the information that they're trying to tell you, right? So you probably have your own examples. I encourage you to remind yourself. Go ahead and write it down now while you're thinking about it. What are some examples that you can think of and apply that to the way that you retain the Lord's word? What is that? Is it a tapping? I've seen some people will tap to a beat. All right, got it. That's cool, right? So I write things down. I use mnemonic devices. And then most importantly, the gift of the Holy Spirit helps us remember where we fell, okay? Do your part. He comes in and blows us away and makes sure we have it, okay? All right, sub point. We write to remember the behavior of royalty. I love this. Chris Vallotton was talking about this yesterday, and I was like, thank you, Lord, for confirming something in my notes today. But did you know that you're called to be kings and priests? Did you know that? Well, if you weren't sure about it, 1 Peter 2:9, and Revelation 1:6. Something else I can give you quickly to confirm it. Jesus, one of Jesus' titles is King, capital K, of kings, lower K. Who are the other kings? Us. He's the King of kings. All right? Check this out. Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. And I should have this up on the screen. Also, it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, the king, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and to be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren. I love that. that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. What is he going to do? Take this, which is, they didn't have the New Testament, what they had available, write it down, read it every day. That's powerful. Here's the verse that Chris shared, 1 Samuel 10:25. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. The behavior of royalty. Did you know there's a certain way we ought to act? Thank you, Jesus, for helping us walk that way. The behavior of royalty. I love that. Here's another sub-point. Writing is for remembering so that we have encouragement and hope. 1 Thessalonians, I don't have these on the screen. I'm going to rattle them off real quick. I have my notes online. Let me know. But 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are doing. Proverbs 16:24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. Amen? Encouragement. Write it down so we can say those things and pray those things. Did you know that Psalms was a journal? Did you know? And one of my favorite parts about it, when he says Selah, pause in his presence. You know what that is? Key number one. All right, Lord, I'm going to wait. And then you'll notice when he writes after that waiting, that sounds a little bit different. It didn't have the same tone or feeling that what preceded it did. Isn't that cool? He waited in the presence of the Lord. There was a pause, and then it continued. Something I read this morning, and it's not in my notes, but it's a thought that I had, and I'll probably talk about it in more detail because it's just so cool. It hadn't hit me this way. But have you ever noticed when you read Genesis, and then there was evening, and then there was morning the first day, and then there was evening, and there was morning the second day, all throughout the 6 days? Did you know that it doesn't say that about the seventh day? What's the seventh day? The day of rest. Sabbath. What does that mean? It means we're going to rest with him for all of eternity. That's the model. That's the plan. He's not going to start us over. The work is done. It is finished. We get to rest. We get to enter into his rest with him, that intimacy, that closeness with him forever. When I read that, I was like, holy smokes, that is awesome. This sounds fantastic. No work, none of this junk. I get to rest in the Lord. I like it. All right? So here's our first prayer. If you would, just repeat after me. Jesus, help us to remember your goodness and faithfulness to us. Help us to encourage one another as your Spirit leads us. Amen? All right. Point number two. We write for clarity and focused prayer. Clarity and focused prayer. I've got a few little sub-points. I'm going to talk about building our trust, countering our blessings, and exhortation. But when Pastor Gary was here, he mentioned that as he was getting ready to pray some mornings, the list of things to do would pop up in his mind and just distract him, get him off the course. You ever do that? You're like, all right, Lord, I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm on this fast. Like, yes. And then you start and you're like, oh, but what about? Oh, but I got to, oh, man, oh, I forgot about this, right? We need that clarity. So what did he say? Write it down. Get it out of your brain onto the paper. All right, it's taken care of. I'll remember to do it. It's in sequence. Boom. Set that aside, flip it over, whatever you got to do, and then go back to prayer. Get the junk out, okay? In Daniel chapter 8, I love this, but Daniel receives a vision regarding future events. He's then given the understanding of the events after the Lord instructs the angel Gabriel to reveal it to him. So he says, go make this known. Go tell him what that meant. So cool. He confirms the word according to the words of the prophet Jeremiah 9:2. So he's saying, okay, did what I hear line up? Ah, okay, it did. Jeremiah said it too. All right? So there it is. And then his immediate response, I love this, is so important for us as we write down the words of the Lord. His immediate response wasn't to go tell somebody. You know what it was? Chapter 9, Daniel prayed. We forget that sometimes, right? I want to take it back to the Lord. I want to confirm your word. I want to pray your word. I want to focus on what you said and pray these things to be, that my heart aligns with your heart. My heart aligns with your will. Okay? Then he told others through the writing down of the vision, but prayer came first. As we seek the Lord concerning the revelation we receive through prayer and study, he will confirm it and thus build our faith or trust in hearing him. Did you know that he does that? He starts small. All right, do you believe me? Go check it out. Oh, it's real. It's true. Yeah. So the next time you hear him, you're like, he's one for one. Let's do this again, right? He's going to confirm it, and he's going to build your faith and trust that you are hearing his voice. You're not just making it up. And then it's critical that we write down everything that he says, since we've discussed how important it is to remember exactly how he said it. All right? Write down what he says so that you know how he said it. Okay? There's usually a context. You don't just rattle off a bunch of stuff and you're like, you get that? Tell us the context. What was he talking about? What were the pictures? What did it look like? What did it sound like? Okay? I'm reminded of the song, Count Your Blessings. Got it up on the screen. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. How long have you gone before you took a moment to write down your blessings? I encourage you to do it. You may not have enough paper. That's a problem for another time, but write down those blessings. Just start making a list. I'm reminded, I'm only going to read a few of these. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I'm going to read one more, and then I'll give you the addresses to the rest. Psalm 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He's so good. Don't forget it. All right, here's a few more addresses. Ephesians 5:20, Psalm 105:1, Psalm 116:12. I'm going to read this one because I like it so much. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So good. And then I want to give an explanation, exhortation. Sounds like a big word. Sounds scary, actually. Like, I don't want to be exhorted. That sounds terrible. To exhort someone or to urge by strong, often stirring argument. It's admonition, advice, or appeal. In our exhortations, we might use speech or discourse that encourages, incites, or earnestly advises someone to do something. That word brings action. I think that's cool. So next time you hear it, don't get scared. It's not bad. I want to be exhorted. Oh, a bunch of weird people. All right, let's pray this prayer. Jesus, bring us clarity in prayer. Show us how to pray effectively so that our faith in your goodness stirs us to action. We don't want to be busy. We want to be led. Amen? Which one do you want to be, busy or led? Yeah. Amen. Lord, we don't want to be busy. We want to be led. Remind yourself of that. All right, here's my last point. We write to speak life into and build up others. So my three little sub-points, we're going to talk about these real quick. But it's comfort, it's edification, and it's testimony. Edification is the process of spiritual growth in a Christian who is living according to the plan of God and who is fulfilling the command to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's edification. Are you growing? Do you have people around you that help you grow? Okay? And then testimony. We talked about that a lot at the beginning. Testimony is to bear witness, to give evidence. We're going to talk about that in a second, but I hope we've honed in our testimony. Lord, help us with our testimony. John 15:7 says this. He says, if you remain, this is Jesus, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Those are not light words. He didn't say that just passingly. He was serious. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Get this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It's one thing to see you online. We love you. We see the comments afterwards, but we want to see your faces. We want the tone. We want the inflection. We want the emotion, right? It's different when you're in person. Okay? So I am thankful that you're all here today, and I get to see your face. And you might be rolling your eyes like this guy, but I like that too. It's connecting. When I think about comfort, I think it ties a bit to remembrance. I think of the days, the early days of camcorders. You remember that? Everybody had one. We're all walking around like, you know, this number, like getting everything, capturing it all. We don't want to forget, right? I think there's a lot that we can take from that. I also think about when I was younger and before iPods and stuff come out, so younger folks talking sort of about iPods and whatnot, but we had tape recorders. So when the guy on the radio was playing some new songs, I'd pop in a blank tape, drop it down, be ready to record, and the moment he was done gibbering and jabbering, I hit record. And I got me some new music, and I listened to that stuff, right? So it was cool. I don't know how legal it was, so don't use me as an example, but I got me some new tunes, okay? Something else that opened up there is pastors and preachers were on the radio, but if you missed it, you missed it. You had to be there. Remember those phrases? Yeah, you just had to be there, right? But they were then able to record those sermons, and you can hear them all over. You could go back and revisit. What was point two? That guy was long-winded, but I'm sure it was good. And then you write it down, and, okay, Lord, you're building me step by step, okay? That was cool. And it always brought me great comfort to see where God led us through. Like I was a different person, and I could see each of the iterations of myself. All right, there's the alpha, there's the beta two, you know, and I'm a computer nerd, so some of you like that. But you saw the different versions of you come out. I also enjoyed it. This is my favorite part. This is what it was all about. Because I could see the faith of my grandfather, and it energized me. I just wanted to be like him. I wanted to talk like him, wanted to pray like him, wanted to believe like him. Right? The people that have gone before us, you get to see that he's not with us anymore. So I watch those or I listen to the tapes. I'm like, I'm on the right path. Getting closer and closer to Jesus because that's what he always told us. He's like, I want to be like Jesus. I want to know my Father. I want to be transformed to be just like him, love just like him, etc. And I'll never forget, Dad remembers this. Mom's probably online. She remembers this. But I remember going to the restaurant one time. I didn't have a camcorder, but I have the camcorder of my mind. I could see it. I can imagine all of it. We were going to a classic joint named Furs. I don't think they have any of those anymore. Yeah. And I hated it at the time. It was my least favorite thing to go to because everybody's like, where y'all want to go eat? We're going to Furs. Oh, again, are you kidding me? You know, but Grandpa loved it. Grandpa loved Furs. So I couldn't be too harsh on it. So I was like, all right, Grandpa loves it. So I just want to do what Grandpa wants to do. So we go to Furs. And there was this man sitting outside. My immediate response was, I don't want to go next to that guy. That scares me. He didn't look right. Probably didn't sound right. He smelled a little bit funny. But that's what my heart's response was. I wanted to move away. You know what my grandpa did? He walked up to him. And then I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh man, Grandpa, what are you doing? You know, I don't know if this is good. He gave him some money to buy him some food, and he prayed for him. I'll never forget it. And I remember him talking about it afterwards because I think he sensed in his heart or in his spirit that we were a little bit apprehensive, like we don't know what Grandpa's doing or why he's doing it. This is a little bit weird. But remember, I wanted to be like him, and he said, I didn't care how he smelled. You want to know why? Jesus doesn't care how he smells. Jesus loves him, so I want to love him. So he bought that man a meal, and he prayed for his salvation. What better gift can you give, right? Those are the kind of things that I want to remember. So I'm reminded a few things. 1 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore I urge you, imitate me." 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." 3 John 11, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." So think about a time, a mentor, someone you look up to, you admire. And just as Paul wasn't encouraging us to idolize himself or lift him up, he was saying, hey, guess what? You know how earlier I just told you about how I was the chiefest among all sinners? I was the worst of the worst. Now I've become all things to all men so that I can save some. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And then John backs his brother up and says, hey, imitate what is good, not what is evil. He wasn't telling you to be like him or to esteem him better than Christ. Use him as an example. If God can save me, he can save you. If God can use me, he can use you. Because I'm the chief of all sinners. Come on, y'all. It was to inspire us to press in for more. God, help us to press in for more. And then my last point under here, I've got a two-parter story here, but testimony. Revelation 12:11, "And they defeated the adversary, the devil, Lucifer, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." What's your testimony? Is it overcoming? Okay? It's definitely one of two parts in overcoming. It's the blood and your testimony, okay? So I want to tell you today that your testimony is powerful. The word just showed us that it's part of how we were overcome. It's a way for people to see who you were and who you are being transformed to be, like Christ. So don't live in the past. Continue to press towards the future, forward towards the future. The road to Emmaus. So there's a story in Luke 24. Jesus had just been crucified. And there's some men that were walking towards the city or town Emmaus, and they were discussing everything that happened. And then Jesus, I love that, and then Jesus, that's my favorite part, appeared, but he didn't reveal himself to them. And he said, hey, what are y'all talking about? So they explained what was going on and everything and how they were conflicted. They knew what he did, but what they experienced, they seemed to be almost two conflicting things. We know that he was the healer. We know that he was the Messiah. We know that all these things were confirmed according to the prophets in this man's life, but he's dead. What do we do? You know, they were struggling. Something the Lord, I feel, said to me last night as I was thinking about this, they explained what many of us feel sometimes. Our head knowledge doesn't always correlate to our heart knowledge. The head knowledge doesn't always correlate to the heart knowledge. So write it down. Pray about it. Ask him to reveal it. He'll make those two line up, okay? Then, my favorite part, Jesus revealed himself and explained everything to them. Thank you, Lord, for explaining. Something this ties me back to, so I encourage you to go read the story. But the woman at the well, "My Father longs for worshipers that will worship in spirit and truth." He doesn't want you to mistake the truth, but you have to be that fine balance. My head knowledge has to match my heart knowledge. Spirit and truth. And then my favorite part of this story in verse 32. Luke 24:32 says, "Then they said to each other after he'd left, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and he explained the scriptures to us?'" If you're having a hard time finding the voice of God or distinguishing the voice of God, how does your heart feel when he reveals to you? Remember, I told you he speaks to us in different ways. But how does your heart feel when those words are spoken? So pray this with me. Jesus, would you focus our testimony so that it brings you glory. Remind us to live each day in spirit and truth. As we are the light to the world, let them see you in us. Amen? Do you want that? So here's my closing. These are the days. These are the days. Stop saying, oh man, I want the good old days. I want to go back to the good old days. You remember the good old days? Well, it's one thing to remember them, and it's one thing to desire to go back and miss the here and now. These are the days. I'm going to give you two addresses. I'm not going to read them. Well, maybe I'll summarize the second one, but here's the first address. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. They're online as well, guys. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The first line says, behold, the days are coming. He's making a new covenant. And then check this out. Verse 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. We talked a few weeks ago about, would you pray to the Lord for me? Would you pray to your God for me? Rather than doing it yourself. It's my God, my Lord. He says, you'll know him. He'll write it on the tablet of your heart. Joel 2:28. This was used in Peter's three-minute sermon that got approximately 3,000 people saved. But he says, and it shall come to pass afterward, or in those days, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Guess what those days are? Right now. This is the day. All right? So here's my question. Are you ready for him to fill you and write his truth upon your heart? Are you ready for his spirit to live within you and guide you? Let's belt it out. Is it a yes or a no? Amen. Yes. It's a yes. So here's what I want to do as our worship team is getting prepared. I've got some papers and pens underneath your seats. And I encourage you to utilize these keys. So key one is quiet yourself, still yourself. Everything can be going on around you, but you yourself are waiting on the Lord. Then I encourage you to look to Jesus. See him, whatever that means to you. But look to Jesus, visualize him. Third point, as those spontaneous thoughts or impressions bubble up in you, whether it's a picture, a word, whatever it is, write it down or describe it. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you smelling? So take a few minutes, ask him to speak to you, quiet yourself, look to Jesus, and write down what he says.
I encourage everyone to do it. We have been using these steps and hearing his voice, and he's been speaking to us. And we've been writing it down and getting it confirmed with other people, and it's beautiful. And there's just more and more of him. The deeper you go and the more you let him take you those places with him and speak to you, that's how we get closer to him. Thank you, God. Sing of your goodness, I will sing of your love. Though the seasons come quickly, you have always been enough. And though the night may get darker, though the waiting seems long, you have always been faithful to remind me of your love. And you are good. In the morning I sing, you are good. In the evening I sing, you are good. You are good to me. Consistent through the ages, oh, what a friend of mine. So I'll remind my soul to bless you, standing firm upon your truth, knowing you cannot be shaken, cause I've seen what you can do.
Said, and I don't want to do everybody, so no pressure, but if you feel that God said something to you, do you want to share it? Yes, come on up.
God is so good to me.
And Debbie, would you start with what you asked
yes.
him and then tell us what he said?
I had already been wondering what he wanted to say to me. And he just started giving me thoughts.
Amen.
My daughter, keep doing what you are doing. You are my testimony. You are a testament to bring glory to my name. I have healed you many times because I am the great I am. I am your healer. I love you, dear daughter. Rest in me alone.
Amen. Amen. All right, so church, does that sound like the Lord?
Yes.
Does that align with Scripture and biblical principles?
Yes.
And that was a word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Can we give him some praise?
We love you, Lord.
Healing. I love it. Who else? Yes, come on up. I got one more, so get ready. So Jason, tell us what you asked.
I asked him what he would like for me to do for him. Because I get frustrated and anxious sometimes because there's so much work to be done. Mm-hmm. And his words to me were, "Be still, my son. Ease your storm and take joy in this day. Love long and strong, for life is but a short time. Do not let earth's distractions steal your course of action."
Amen. That sounds like a word from the Lord. Doesn't line up with biblical principles. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I feel that there's one more. Let's do one more. Who wants to share? Yes. Let's do two more. Come on up.
I just asked him, "What do you want to say to me?" Mm-hmm. And all these phrases came into my head. Forgive disrespectfulness. Rely on me. Be genuine and humble myself. I know you are thankful and you worship and you serve. And my reply was, "You are so good to me."
Amen. Does that line up? Yeah. Let's give him some praise. Thank you, Lord. As a final question, and those online, please share them in the comments. I want to read them and confirm them with you, of course. But as just a question, did anyone get a picture? Instead of hearing something, did you see something? What about a smell? What'd you smell?
I don't know if anybody's ever been in a flower shop. They have a refrigerated room where they keep all the fresh cut flowers they're going to arrange. But if you could take that and kind of multiply it 100 times, I could smell it, but it's almost like you could feel the aroma of God.
Yeah. So as you're describing that, the impression the Lord gave you is his presence?
Well, the first word he said to me was peace, which to me is just a state of tranquility. It's like I've heard about these places where they can put you in salt water and you just float, and it's, you know, that kind of peace. And then the aroma was like just taking all my other senses and just turning the knob to zero. Calibrating everything.
Amen. How does that sound? Amen. Thank you. So as Candace said, we've been going through this process, and I want to share this for you. Yes. Please come up. I want to share this with you, and I believe that we all need to hear it. Go ahead. Come on. I don't bite. a thought that I had, and this may resonate with you, because I don't know that these things are always for us, but one of the thoughts that I ask him, and I ask him this often, so I encourage you to take this up, but I said, "What are your thoughts concerning me?" So this is the word as feels for us, so hear the us in this. He said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. My plans are to prosper and guide you all your days as you draw closer to me. Be bold. Step out. Speak up. Love my people, and I will strengthen and equip you to take care of them. Be faithful. Take the first step." Now, I don't know who that's for, because he said this to me before. So I've heard a word like this before. So I don't know who that's for, but did you know that we're all under shepherds? We're all called to preach. We're all called to teach. We're all called to equip and to build up his body. Did you hear that theme in there? Mm-hmm. Take the first step. Sound like a word from the Lord?
Amen.
Can we say yes? Yeah.
The Lord brought the scripture to me, and I read it, and I reread it, and I think it's for us individually and us corporately.
Amen.
Because one of the pictures as I saw was a tree with a lot of roots.
Amen.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of the sinners. By the way, this is Psalms 1. Nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
Amen.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Amen. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind will blow away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment.
They will not stand in judgment.
Oh, I turned too far. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Amen. You know what I love about this? What'd she say? She got the picture first. What does the scripture talk about? A tree. What did she see? A tree. Amen. Was that a word from the Lord? Clearly, right? Psalm 1. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So here's what I'd like to do as we're dismissed today. This is the official dismissal. But they're going to play through this song. They might even sing a little bit. But would you take a moment to thank him for speaking? Thank him for revealing things to us and that he would seal it in our hearts. And as we said at the beginning, we would declare his truth with our voice. Okay? Let's praise him for a minute. And you are dismissed. Okay? Okay.